Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we're very grateful again to be allowed the opportunity of coming together to study your word, Lord, to know that which is surely revealed to us in this day and this hour, Lord. For this is the portion of the man and the saint's food, and we are grateful for it. And it is certainly not something which is untimely, nor is it something which we do not love, but we love your word, Lord, and we love him who gave that word so that now he himself is here, and we're very, very grateful for that. Help us in the study tonight. May your name be glorified. May we be built up and edified as we are supposed to be, thoroughly corrected and blessed, and on our way back home. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to go to the rapture tape, and we'll get to the book here. To begin with, first of all, on page 14 in paragraph 65, and he said, "But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture." Now, also, I just might read on page 28, paragraphs 133, 4, and 137. Now, remember, the message is promised, and with all these mysteries have been also bundled up by the bunch of Ecclesiastes, it'll take a direct prophet from God to reveal it. And that's exactly what he promised to do. Now, remember, the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, not the theologian, the prophet. He is a reflector of God's word. He can't say nothing. He can't say his own thoughts. He can only speak what God reveals, even to the prophet Balaam when he was tried to sell his birthright. He said, "How can any prophet say anything but what God puts in his mouth?" It's a thing that God does that you can't say nothing else, and you're born that way. Now, if a prophecy goes forth, two or three have to sit and judge whether that's right or not before the church can receive it. But nobody sets before a prophet, because he was absolutely the Word of God. He was that Word in his age. He saw God reflect. Now, what we're looking at here is, first of all, that he mentions in the first quote that, "But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It is revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture." Doesn't sound like too good English, but don't worry about it. I might read a bit further. "Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so." Now, you hear what he said there? Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. In other words, everything previous was set aside. We'll get to that later in Scripture. Now, faith. That's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon revelation of the entire body. Here a few weeks ago, I was talking to Fine Baptist Ministry. He came to discuss with me and said, "I like you as a man, but you're all mixed up." I said, "Then I pray you straighten me out with the Scripture." He said, "We'll never be able, Brother Van, to get the thing right till we get every word upon word exactly with the Greek and so forth." And I said, "Oh, sir, you know better than that. Even at the Nicene Council, way back as far as that 300 years from the death of Christ, they're still debating which Greek scholar is right. It's a revelation, the whole thing." He said, "I cannot accept revelation." And I said, "Then how can you accept Christ?" Now, what we're looking at here, repeating from last Wednesday, that the rapture, the doctrine of the rapture, is definitely a revelation. And Brother Branham very carefully lays it out when he says that a prophet can speak nothing except the exact words of God. He hasn't got his own thoughts. And what he's saying here is, I brought to your attention that he spoke and said, you've got to let your own thinking go. Now, that's what's basically wrong with everybody that listens to Brother Branham. And I found out many years ago, even before he died, that I wasn't understanding what he said because I was constantly interpreting, evaluating, and judging everything by what I had previously been taught. and I found that it won't work. Now, Paul the Apostle tells us that he received a revelation. Now, let's just see what happened to him in Philippians, the 3rd chapter. He says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord. Now notice he's talking about the knowledge. That's a revelation. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them dung, that I may win Christ. Now, if he had not had a revelation, he wouldn't be able to appraise what he formerly believed, therefore was a part of, and participated in, as dung. Now, you've been taken off the dung hill because you got dung heads. Hi, manure heads. If you can't see that, you're gone. You're gone. You never will understand this mess. I don't care who you are. Because you'll be like all the rest of the guys with a bit of indication. Well, brother, the prophet had great vision, but you know, I had some tea. Well, drop dead. Take your visions with you. I've had visions. I've had prophecies come right to pass like few men have had. I was foolish enough to break into the realm of discernment, stand there and said, bring your Catholic priest. And it made Dave chuckle and Joe chuckle. And I said, bring your Pentecostal. Junior had a ball over that. And I had enough moxie, chutzpah, to stand there and challenge him, and I could do it. And I still had a manure head. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. If you're going to be a prince with God, you not only come off the dung heap, but you get rid of your manure head. Because that's what Paul's telling you. Oh, you say, no, Paul, hold it! How could Paul do anything unless his mind went to another channel, unless he was insane and the devil controlled him? Huh? Oh, come on. Come on, I want to ask you a question. Maybe some of you still got that old manure pile back there. You ain't got cataracts, brothers. You got manure piles. Not you, of course. Heaven forbid. We're the nicest people in all the world. Mighty small world. Yeah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. If we want something nicer. We'll leave old Paul here. We'll get him off the manure heap. Job off the ash heap. The prodigal son out of the pig parlor. And we'll get over here with Paul. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, 12, for what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so, the things of God no man knows but the spirit of God. How are you going to know them? You got to have the spirit of God to show you. Now, Paul says in that 2nd chapter, he said here, I determine nothing among you save Christ him crucified. And he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but backed up by the Holy Spirit, proving that I was correct. Okay, let's go to Galatians. 1st chapter, 11th verse. Paul says in here, but I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So that puts Paul up. What was he, an ape? No, he's a man, so that lets him up. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. And I didn't figure it out myself. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay. Now he says here that he didn't confer with flesh and blood. Verse 16. Verse 15, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach among the Gentiles, for he then immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't go up and listen to somebody. What did he do? He went to the desert for about 3 years. And there he heard everything he needed to know from God. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. Now watch this man. And here's what he said to those. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, verse 37. Let's take 36 first. What? Came the word of God out from you or came it unto you only? He said, did you figure this by yourself, or did I bring it to you? Now listen, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And the same man says, God is going to judge the world by my gospel. Brother Branham's vision, lined with Paul's. Because if Paul is a phony, then William Branham is a phony. We got two phonies. Beyond the curtain of time, he said, they told him this. This voice said to him, he's going to come to you and judge you according to what you taught. Why, he said, I taught what Paul taught. And the people screamed, we're resting on that. So therefore there is, as Brother Branham said, the prophet can say nothing except either good or evil, except God puts it in his mouth. See? Now, Paul's thinking was changed. Now listen, repentance means a change of mind or a change of thinking. A change of understanding. And consequently, with the change of understanding comes a change of emphasis. Now, what's been emphatic in this hour? Everything but the presence. Everything but the presence. The emphasis has to be upon him, or it is a wrong revelation. I don't know that anybody tried more desperately to obey God than William Branham. And yet when the messenger came to him and gave him the vision and said, you have made a sideshow of this ministry. And as far as I know, he did everything he could to be right with the ministry. What happened? Too much preeminence got put upon the prophet. Now, I know some people think, well, hey, just better watch out, because you see, nobody wants to give him the right preeminence. Listen, when you go beyond the preeminence that God gave him, you are slandering God. You're lifting yourself up above God. It's good enough that he tells us this, what the voice spoke to him, the pillar of fire of John the Baptist, foreran the first coming of Christ, so your message foreruns the second coming. See, and remember, it was in the descent of the Lord Jesus Christ the message comes forth. Are people still looking for a message? Ha! I thought the prophet said we had everything to put us in a rapture. That means to get us to the place where the dead can come out of the ground and we can be changed. That's what this message gave us. Amen. Now, if it didn't give it us, William Branham still got a dung head. And he ain't going to heaven. Now, let's put these people on the spot to say they believe a prophet. To see if they're phony $3 bills or whether they ring up with the cash register. You see, we don't fool anymore with the Word of God. Now, listen, one word off voids the entire promise of Almighty God. Now, this is the hour, Brother Branham said, the bride was looking for the revelation of the rapture. Now, why could he say that? I'll tell you why. If anybody's got 1 ounce of brains, and I mean 1 ounce of brains, I'll even go further than that. If they got 1/100 ounce of a brains, spiritually speaking. Now, back many years ago, when I used to listen to all these guys on the radio, which, heaven forbid, I should waste my time now, but back there was old Charlie Fuller. He's a good old boy. Now, Charlie Fuller was just about as good as walking a tightrope in the fence as any man could ever walk. Because he could tell you everything and end up by telling you nothing. And month after month, he kept us spellbound. Now, whether he was pulling tricks out of a bag or just what he had in mind, I don't know. But I heard enough of Charlie Fuller. He's a great preacher and all, but I don't admire men like that too much. And I look back on their careers and begin to deal with what, like he was dealing with. It was always the same story. Now, I'm going to let you know exactly if there's a pre-tribulation rapture or a post-tribulation rapture. And we ended up never really knowing. That's exactly right, because you couldn't know. Was a Sperry Lewis Schaefer right post-tribulation? What were men like Charles Fuller right pre-tribulation rapture? Why, some were even pre-millennial, some were post-millennial. Take your pick. If you don't like a red balloon, bless God, we'll give you a brown balloon or a green balloon. They're all full of hot air. Take your pick. What color do you want? He couldn't tell. Now, the controversy has not only raged as to whether there is a pre-tribulation, a post-tribulation, a premillennial, or post-millennial, and who gives a rip, so to speak, but it also raged over the understanding that there was an appearing, which was secret, which involved a rapture, and there was a coming, which was physical, that involved the person, and everybody would see him. Now that's been raging and raging and raging. And somebody says, well, you see, the bride doesn't need a revelation. Hogwash, she doesn't need a revelation. He said the ecclesiasticals are so gommed up, so scrupled up, so credit up, so manure-headed. You ever walk in a barnyard? I hope you have. You haven't, you missed a real treat. And manure piled up there, and a great big rainstorm come, and you walk in manure and manure juice. I, you say, Brother Vail, you're crude. I am not crude. What would you sooner talk about? Vomit? What would you sooner do? Listen to Lee Vail and see the people pitter-patter in the cow juice and the pig juice? Or would you sooner sit at a table with vomit? Well, I tell you what, I have walked in manure. And I floated my brains in it. Give me that instead of puke any day or vomit any day. The Bible's tougher than I am. Far tougher. Every table's full of vomit. Now he said the bride has been looking for a revelation. Because the argument is pro and con and mighty discouraging. Because I've been on both sides of the fence. I know what I'm talking about. And I'll tell you what I came up with. I came up with Dr. Bosworth. That the scripture, unbiased, uninterpreted, lying out there flat, or laying out there flat, how do you want to put it? Laid out there. I would have to throw my lot with the saints going through the tribulation than missing it. Because I made my studies. I would say the preponderance of evidence from the amount of scripture and from association of other scripture when you analyze premises and trends. The saints never miss anything. They go through it. And how you bear is by the inner power and consolation of God that you can walk through it. That there is a way of escape. And that is God giving you strength to bear it. So, the bride was and is in a dilemma. So what do? You listen to the prophet. Now let's go a little further. Nobody but nobody, but nobody but nobody but nobody but nobody but nobody ever came up with the shout, the voice, and the trumpet being a message, the resurrection, and the rapture. Though now that I know, I can take you to scripture after scripture after scripture and prove it is 100% right. You say, but Brother Vail, I realize that your proof does not mean anything to anybody except those of us who see it. Exactly right. Exactly right. See? But the prophet said, there is a revelation that the bride has to have. And she is waiting for it. Now listen, if you change the promise of God, a rapture, pre-tribulation, to put you in the millennium, you change it. You don't get it. That's why the bride is never deceived, and the bride always has the information. Now, one word change. That's all it takes. And she's off. So therefore, the bride has to have a perfect revelation, understanding of the rapture in this hour. And she's got it. She's got it. She's got everything to put her into the rapture, which means she's going to come to the Garden of Eden again, back to the millennium after the resurrection. Now, I want to go a little further. I said, and I agree 100% with Brother Branham because it's the Word. Whether I agree or not doesn't make any difference, it's the Word. Adding one word negates the promise of God. Now, the human mind is prone, because of Scripture, to take the negative in preference to the positive, or rather, should I say, to neglect the positive because of being involved with the negative. Now, we go back to the Garden of Eden. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read what God said to, well, to chapter 2, I beg your pardon, to Adam. The Lord, verse 16, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day of the eating of dying thou dost surely die. Now there's a negative there. Now, what people forget is the positive. Whenever there's a negative, man forgets the positive. You know the old song said accentuate the positive. That's an old Walt Disney, I believe. He's 100% right. Because God made a promise and God blessed him saying, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, had dominion over it, subdue it. You're the what? You're the boss. Now, all through Scripture, the negative has superseded the positive because of man's inability to hold to revelation. Alright? You understand what I'm saying? We go to the book of Luke, the 17th chapter. And it says in verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, married wives, gave in marriage, they didn't know in the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank. They bought, sold, they planted, and builded. The same day Lot went out and saw a rain, fire, and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Even thus should be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Every bit of that is negative. Every bit's negative. Now, the setting of Sodom and Gomorrah is a negative setting. The setting of the flood is a negative setting. It took a prophet of William Branham's stature to simply bring to our attention that at the time of Noah there was a prophet, and at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah there was a prophet, and there was a visitation from God himself in both cases. Now, let's look at the scripture that precedes what I read. He said, disciples, in verse 22, the days will come when you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they will say, see here, see, they're going after him, follow him. Now watch. For as lightning lighteth out of one part of heaven, shines the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected this generation. Now he tells them that they won't see it. But there will be a repeat of the days of the Son of Man, and nobody but nobody caught it but William Branham. So, they can't major on the positive. How can you major on a promise when you don't even know it's there? See? Now the question is, how is he going to get us out of here? He's going to come down and do it. Now that's the presence. That's the literal appearing, which has to do with the secret rapture. Now, unless people throw away their thinking, deliberately throw away the vomit and the manure of fundamentalism to denying their own rebirth. Yep. Because if you're not born again, you can't see the revelation. In other words, in this age of Laodicea, there's one message, repent, which means to change the mind. This is the mind age. This is the eagle age. But who wants to change it? Now, people have been running from church to church with a constant changing of mind. And they run themselves plumb off into a ditch. Because they would not stand still and wait for God to somehow bring a revelation. See? Or sit still without one. Now I know the world says, well, hey, just a minute. It's better to make any kind of a move than to just not make a move. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Here's the goal when I was very young. Well, very young in the sense of what I am now. Very old in the sense of what maybe some of you sitting here. Well, you kids just beat it. Well, I was 22 to tell you the truth somewhere now. Well, maybe a little older. About 22, I guess, somewhere near. Well, way back in there, you know, when you're young, quite a bit this side of 30, I'd had a very tough. So one day I made a decision. It was the wrong decision, but I sure felt good. For a while. Now, there isn't one of you sitting here that doesn't know what I'm talking about, at least in a certain measure. That you cannot sit still any longer and stand the pressure. Oh, no, you can't do it. Well, join the crowd and get ready, blistered honey. You ain't had your hide taken off yet. Get up and get out there without getting a solid answer, knowing which way you're going. Then don't come to me, because I'm going to pour cayenne pepper on it. Yeah, he said, Dale, you're dirty. I bet you sweet life I am, honey. You fool with me and you're going to get both barrels. Because I'm telling you, warning you tonight. This is what Brother Branham said. They can't sit still for the resurrection. They can't sit still, stand still in the waters of separation to be clothed in that word. They can't stand still. Now the church couldn't stand still. So it gets us theologians together. And it says, well, what about this rapture bit? What about this thing that's going on? Well, the theologians get together and they say, well, the thing is this, in a multitude there lacketh not wisdom. So they pool their resources. And I'm just going to tell you one thing about manure. You can have it in a thimble, it's manure. You can have it in a carload, in a trainload, it's still manure. I tell you one thing about the Holy Spirit. You can have him a thimble full or himself here, and neither one makes a mistake. Because Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit. It's like a thimble full of ocean water, or whether the whole ocean, all analyzes the same. It's ocean water. Now, people couldn't stand still. So they committed themselves to their understanding like Israel did. And when he came on the scene, and he said, here I am. And John said, there he is. Oh, they said, no, he ain't. But he was. What about today? The Lord himself shall descend him with a shout. Jesus stood before the crowd and he said, listen, he said, you're such wise guys. Oh, he said, you really know so much, he said. I just want to ask you a question. He said, over here, where it said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand. He said, who was talking to who? And they said, well, we don't have time for little riddles like that. We got big things ahead. You see, after all, when God gets in trouble, he calls on us to settle the question. The Sanhedrin actually said that. Maybe not at that time, but they said it. Well, I'm going to go back to 1 Thessalonians, and I want to ask everybody this question. And you tell me this, answer me quickly. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall it be with the Lord. Now that follows the verse 15. This is only by the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the presence of the Lord shall not go before them, prevenio, take precedence over, hinder, whatever you want to call, them which are asleep. Then it tells you about that presence, for he's going to descend from heaven with a shout. Now the question is, does he come down or doesn't he come down? All right, if that's the case, let's find out what Brother Branham said. These people said they believed the prophet. You that listen to this tape, you might have thought today I was trying to say that about myself being I was packing this message. I have no more to do with this message than nothing, no more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper, a skunk skinner, smell like a skunk. Good old beggar on the dung heap. With a manure mind, human being, William Branham, smell like a skunk, had no more real interest in God than nothing. But he was born to it. And one day the footsteps from eternity began to echo in the corners of his soul. And he knew he had to stand up to truth. Now I said, I've got no more to do with the nothing, just the voice. That's a prophet! He had nothing to do with it. Thy words you put in my mouth. William Branham, God took his tongue. Oh, you say God blanked him out. Yes, God blanked him out. God gave him his thoughts. God made him leave his thoughts. Oh, you say, Brother Bill, the spirit of him. Drop dead. Can't tell the spirit of hell and the spirit of God. That's worse than manure heap. But it's the will of my Father I declare to him, turn to. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. Now, where's the river? Up there in the clouds somewhere? Milky Way? A galaxy of stars that make a mighty river? Oh, great one in the Milky Way. Shut up, down here in the water. Where'd he come before? Down on the water. Huh? Well, didn't he? As a frame like a dove come down in the water with John the Baptist and the form Jesus, the man standing there. The Logos that became flesh. What came down? A dove. Fiery dove came down. Where? Over the water. Oh, he's up there somewhere, said John the Baptist. I can't see, but he's up there. Cat! I get sick and tired of ignorance. I'm old and crotchety, and I'm happy I'm that way. I'm going to get worse. Whether you like it or not. I wasn't the one that appeared down there. I was only there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and that foretells these things as happens they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. How near is near here? Now, you tell me that people in this message have let their thinking go. And I'll tell you, you're just as bad off as they are because they haven't. I asked you a question. What kind of a curve did Brother Branham throw the people? Well, he painted his hair yellow and ran off with a green-haired gal, did he? Well, he bought himself a hot rod, ding, 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 and ran over stop signs and everything else, did he? Well, he got mad one day, swore a blue streak and ripped up the walls and got put in jail for on the back, did he? He threw him curves with the word. He brought out those strange, peculiar things and said, that's it.
Hear what he said? He's God to the people. I can't believe that.
So he can't believe it. Goodbye. Wasn't nice knowing you. Couldn't be nice not knowing you. Now, Junior, I'm not wicked. You know you love me and I love you, but I'm not wicked. I got a kid, Junior, all the time. Junior's a good friend of mine. I wrote something about Junior. I got to read it to you. He's a young man always in a hurry but going nowhere, really. Continually making turns, both good and bad. Loves to carry people and their burdens. Always knows when he gets a green light. What is he? He's a bus driver. he's my good buddy. Junior's a lot like me. He gets terribly impatient, too, with what goes on. Why can't they see? Look, you and I all know why they can't see it. But I'll scream louder and longer if it's going to help anybody to get it nailed down. Hey, I'm not giving you something that's alien. I'm telling you the truth of God's word that the prophet brought here. This is that hour of the ego revelation. And you can mouth it all you want and say, this is that hour of the ego. You are no more ego than a clucky, clucky hen. If you cannot change your mind and throw out of your manure heap, your manure thinking,
the vomit. Offer back to God vomit. Won't work. See? Now listen. The very word of God is voided by tradition. He said, you made the commandments of God to none effect by your tradition. You made the word of God non-effective. Now, one change of the word of God brings curse. Period. See? Eve, the prophet said, was secure as long as she stood behind the word. The very minute she left the word, she was vulnerable. People want to become invulnerable. How do you get that way? Getting back to the revelation. Now let's look at the blood. People talk a lot about the blood. Anybody can talk. Do a lot of talking here yourselves. Okay. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he says at the end time it is a light. The appearing, the presence, the revelation is light, which is revealed word. Now, I'm not telling you for 1 minute we got revealed word without him. I'm not saying that. I am saying that he, Logos, is here and revealing himself through the passage which he takes, which is by a prophet. We have had the revelation. That thing they says in Revelation 22, seal not the sayings of the prophet's book, for the time is at hand. Revelation 10 and 4, seal the book. Revelation 22 and 10, open the book, which was opened in Revelation 10, 1 to 7. So the thunders came forth under the seventh seal. Now it says you can't seal it. Somebody said, but Brother Vail, it is true that the seventh seal is not open. Then if the seventh seal wasn't ripped off the book and is not open, then the book is still closed. You can't have your cake and eat it. Now he said, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now look at it. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We certainly don't have it. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanses us. Now listen, then walking in the light is not sinless perfection. Because of our sinless perfection, why do you need the blood? It said the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. Your justification is a once-for-a-lifetime deal. Your sanctification is progressive. Your baptism with the Holy Ghost is your seal into eternity. And what is he talking about? He's telling you that the blood does not avail without the light. Now, what are you going to do about it? You better believe the Bible. In other words, there is no blood. They can talk about blood all they want. They can talk about Holy Spirit all they want. They can talk anything they want. But when you turn down a vindicated word, you're finished. Let's find out in Scripture, Hebrews 10. I'm not going to worry about reading tonight. I'm sure I never have too much to say, and then by saying everything. 28th verse. 26th verse. Hebrews 10, if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. What adversaries? You become one of them. You turn on the revealed word of God, you're an enemy of God. Now, people don't like that kind of language. I go before Pentecostal people. I fear not what they say. But I quote from John 15 and 24. If I had not done the worst of the men, did they not sin? But now they've seen them both. They've both seen and hated both me and my Father. And a man said, well, I saw the works that God did. But don't tell me I hate God. I tell you, you do hate God. Oh, no, no. Oh, shut up. You make me sick. You make Jesus Christ illegitimate and a liar. Don't bother coming to me. Don't talk. Shut up and go back to the hole you came out of. You ain't out of your hole yet. Hell-bound sinners that dare to lift their voices against the light. Now he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two the witnesses. How much sore punishment suppose you shall be thought worthy, who trodden underfoot the Son of God, count the blood of covenant sanctified and holy thing, and death the Spirit of God. Now he said, what would do it? Now listen, what would do it? Let me get this across to understand what we're saying here. The blood of Jesus Christ has been shed. It fell upon the ground for future sanctification of the earth to bring our bodies out. He put it on the mercy seat as a witness. The sin was dealt with. Tell me, what can you do about the fact the blood's been shed? Nothing has been shed. Jump up and down and scream. Run to Jerusalem where the blood was shed if you can find it and deprecate on it. Spit on it. Pour the blood of hogs upon it. Commit a voodoo murder. Won't do you one bit of good. You'll never change it. Climb into heaven. Offer a pig where Jesus is. Can you do it? What can you do about the sacrifice? Then what is he talking about? Light. Moses brought a word. The revelation of that word brought a course of action. Now let's go back under the law. Let's see a man after God's own heart, David. David paid for a lot of sins. Let me tell you flat, David got in some pretty vulgar sins. Oh, he got so many women, so many kids, he loved them all. And so what? One of his sons rose up and raped one of the daughters. Oh, he said, that's too bad. But you know, boys would be boys, you know. After all, men like it, and I guess girls must like it too. It's just too bad it happened that way. You know what? That boy should have been put to death. His dad knew all about it. Here's the king sitting on the throne. Oh, he won't rise up and do something about his family. The priesthood was that way for years. Where'd the prophets go with their kids? You show me anybody that ever had anything on the ball that he could stand before God and say, here I am, open the pearly gates. Let me tell you about David. In spite of David, he honored that word the best he could. He wasn't a priest. He had the ability of a prophet. He had some prophecy in him, but he wasn't the prophet. Nathan was a prophet of the land. He man after God's own heart. But I want to show you here is the fact that I don't care what anybody says about the blood. You can do nothing about it. It's been shed. The purpose has been accomplished. Then what is wrong with people? They will not come to the light. They have never taken the word the way they are supposed to take the word. And in this hour, there's going to be a bride who believes as, listen, rapturing faith in a group. Group faith outside of Israel has never been in existence. It's going to come in now. A group of people standing here on earth, believing the same thing, walking in the same light. Not all doing the same thing, all thinking the same thing. Brother Brand said, you get 10 people with the same thoughts, there'll be a rapture. Is there going to be 10 in the rapture? Maybe 1,000. I don't know, maybe 10,000. Who knows? I'm not interested. But comparatively, with 4 billion people in the world, the few hundreds or thousands are infinitesimal. Literally. Their percentage is horribly small. Now he said here, what is it? They turned down the light. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, the bride is waiting for light on the rapture. And everybody sat back and said, well, his opinion will be like the rest. It'll be, do we go before the tribulation or don't we? Now, as I told you, I talked with Brother Branham on the tribulation, the pre-tribulation, post-tribulation rapture, and I couldn't see what he was saying. Now, that's before he preached December the 4th, 1965, Yuma, the rapture. I had questioned him before. But I believe what he said. He said, Lee, it's thus saith the Lord, the bride will not go through the tribulation. I said, thank you, Brother Branham, I believe it, because you told me. And I stood on it. That meant I was going to change my entire thinking, and I began opening my mind for the entire thinking. When he preached this, and he said the shout, I told you how I said to myself, hey, Brother Branham, you said a lot of far-out things, but this is the furthest out thing I have ever heard you say. I cannot take it. And suddenly I said, hold it. When was he ever wrong? I said, shout is the message. Fine dandy. And I sat there completely snowed under with no revelation, but with the open mind that said, well, hallelujah, that's it. Shout is a message. Bring her on, buddy. Pour it out. My mind was wide open. My mind was wide open for the saints to go up ahead of the rapture. God showed me about it. You say, well, God didn't show you. Well, fine. Whatever he did, whatever he showed me. I'm perfectly satisfied. You see, the mind has to give way to the mind of the prophet. Now, here's the beautiful thing. In 1964 in Tampa, in spring, Brother Branham sat with me at breakfast. He said, Lee, he said, I tell you, all my thoughts are of God. And I thought, boy, that sure nuts would say, well, I thought it was this. There it goes, boy. Out, 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 out! Kick it out of his mind. How many of us can do that? Oh, now somebody come on and say, well, you see, there, you're just getting your little group there in Ohio, right ready to pull a great big Alexander Dow or Paul Jones or somebody else kind of act on the folk, get them in bondage. I got news for you. That's alive in the pit of hell. I ain't getting you in bondage. I could walk out of here tomorrow and leave you sitting and do what you want. I'm not threatening anybody. You say, well, you're using more psychology. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't want you on my back or in front of me or any place else. I want you in the hands of God. And I'm doing my best to tell you something, whether you're sinking in or not, or you can do it or not. That's up to you and God. I am not God. I can't do it for you. But I want to tell you this. You have got to put your thinking aside, my brother and sister, when it comes to what the prophet said. I've been in that bind time after time after time. And it scares you part of the time. Because you'll say, oh, merciful heaven, the prophet said this. Oh, I'm scared. The prophet said that. I'm scared. Oh, shut up. Bring your stupid emotions under control for once. Stand still like men. Quit yourself like children of God and soldiers of the cross. And stand still and listen till he begins helping you. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. The minute that you begin confronting your scarecrows, that's the time the scarecrows go. Why are they worried about the presence today the way I preach it? Oh, they say, don't you know that back there, the Russellites taught it. Oh, Russell taught it. Oh, my, it's got to be wrong. What about the woman that in an Irvingite meeting that had the original revelation in a darkened room flat on her back, having spoken in tongues and interpreted, and said there is a secret appearing and a secret rapture? A woman! Big mouth yappity yap. And she had it wrong. She only had part of it right. There was a secret appearing. And there was and is a secret rapture. And I told you, I thought it had Brother Branham right by the short hair. You know, back here where it hurts you know, your back of the neck, you think they're going to scalp you. I was going to lift the rest of your hair off. Speaking, you know, intellectually. So I said, what about this woman, Margaret Whiting or something her name was? Oh, he said, so what? He said, still the truth. Because somebody down the road said something back in 1876. Because somebody got some little thing right, the devil threw a scarecrow, I was supposed to back away. And back away from the prophet. Because Dowie said he was Elijah. He's a nice old boy, but he drank liquor. He got so stewed by the fine wines that he learned to imbibe and relish in France. He came home holding on the pulpit. Good old boy. Just had too much good stuff. Wrong kind of spirits came out of the bottle. I'm going to tell you something. He had a lot of things right in the head, but he's wrong. William Branham came on the scene. He had the right fruit. He had the right character. They couldn't put a finger on him. And the most ridiculous thing in all the world is for people in this message not to see the presence, because now they have reduced William Branham to a loud-mouthed nincompoop. I read you, and I'll say it over here again in 1962. Here's what William Branham said. I get it here for you. In Spokane, from that time, this is my ministry to declare that he is here. Why, what Baptist wouldn't say, don't tell me that you're here to say he's here, if that's the best you've come to do. Ha! Sir, read my book about how he is here. A lady missionary from China could come on the scene, and she said, Brother Branham, you're a lovely person, and I know you're a great man. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. I taught my little girls in China that he is present. And one time we didn't have any soap. We were reduced to no food and no soup. So, and I said to them, girls, he is present. He's in the midst. And they shouted and praised God. And there's a knock at the door. And the baker came and he said, say, could you use some bread? And the grocer came and said, I've overstocked soap. Could you use soap? And then when the commies came in, and they were raping all the young girls, which is their favorite pastime, naturally. And they came to take the young girls, knocked at the door, and the sister, I forget her name. I can get her name for you. Don't worry. I can get her book, too, and all the other things that is in book form. I don't know. I can get her name. Don't worry. Tell you all about her. Knowing that those brigands were there, she had the girl stand. He's in the midst. He's here. They immediately turned and left the building. Others were raped. That could have been the plan of God, too. And they said, William Branham. Ha! What is so great that he is here, already having been here, being here all these 2,000 years, that now this great ministry, it just amounts to the fact that you're saying he's here. Look, it doesn't cut, brother, sister. It doesn't cut. Because if you're eating lettuce and tomatoes, and I come in, and I see lettuce, I say, I'm here to tell you, you're eating lettuce and tomatoes! Ha ha! You say, oh boy. What's with these days? Well, come on. Is that all the prophet amount to do? I'm pretty derisive, and I speak off the top of my head in these things. And off the top of the anger in my insides. Because I want to know. I cannot reduce God and the prophet to just, hey, nani, nani, na, hot, cha, cha, some stupid thing out there. Don't tell me William Branham came on the scene with one of the greatest miracle ministries the world's ever seen. With the discerning of hearts. Of lives. And stand before thousands and take every spirit under control. And you couldn't hide if you tried. And they said, well, I'm here just to let you know what you already know. And there's a great emphasis. What did it do? Tell me, what did it do? It backfired. Because they said, yuck. And we've got people who call it the puke doctrine. Said, I've been knowing he's here for 29 years. Yeah? It's interesting. What do you know? Did they totally disregard that Brother Branham said, how wonderful, just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul as you're revealing it? Did they fail to catch the fact that Brother Branham said originally a prophet was a revealer of the word, not a bringer of the word, so much as a revealer of the word? Because that's the truth. He wasn't the bringer. God brought his own word. If the prophet's a bringer of the word, then the prophet starts in him. The word starts in him. It doesn't. The word is in God, and God is in the prophet. So he reflects the word. He doesn't bring it. He reveals the word. And he interprets the word. Who knew what the word meant back in Moses' day, except Moses could get to God and get the understanding. And Brother Branham one day stood before us and he said, listen, if I tell you, I'm a hypocrite, letting us know that he could get to God for the answers. If God wanted to bring an answer, he could get the answer and bring it back. And if he told us a lie, he was a hypocrite. You and I can lie, and we're not hypocrites. We're just stupid. Just plumb ignorant. Unable to do things. But when you deal with a man that can go there, like Balaam, Balaam took his parable, and when Balaam made his altars, and Balaam set the seven rams and everything else in order, and then he lit the fire, and he stood there with his parable, took up his words, God came on the scene. Spoke right through that man's mouth, and the prophecy is still coming forth. And he was only a prophet, truly a prophet, but Moses was the true prophet. Here's a picture of the twins. Moses and Balaam. Prophets. Here's a picture of the twins. Cain and Abel. You got twins right today. Only you're to the place where many more are the children of the distance. She that's had a husband. So you had one Elijah for a bride, and you've got dozens and dozens of false anointed ones. But that's not what bugs the people today, because they know that we're not false anointed anymore to gifts. We put the gifts aside so they can't get us. But now it's the teachers. Yeah. They run around. That's why I stay home. Now, I don't know if there's a reason why I stay home or not. I don't know. I just stay home because I like to stay home.
Now we're at the end time. It's almost 9 o'clock. I'm not going to take any longer. What time do we start preaching?
8 o'clock?
Well, you got enough. All right, tell you what I'm going to do. Next few minutes, I'm going to just leave the service open to you. You want to ask some questions? Now, you ask your questions right now. Any question you want to ask me, I'm doing my best to answer. We were talking about the presence. I'm trying to nail it down to the place where you don't have one single doubt. As to why we preach what we do preach. That the baptizer himself is here. That his justification gave way to sanctification, so sanctification gave way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost gave way to the Holy Ghost himself. Now how do you figure that one out? Who's been doing it all along? The Holy Spirit has been doing it all along. Every age there's been a measure. Until the fullness of the Holy Spirit is here. Then when the fullness is here, my brother, sister, it means there's no more word. It means the capstone is here. You want to know about the capstone? I think I wrote it down here somewhere. Always writing things down, forget where I put them. That's natural. I got it somewhere. Capstone, Feast of Trumpets. Page 17, verse and paragraph 5. Read it sometime. Tell you about the capstone. Why the capstone is not the cornerstone. Or the headstone. You got a different story there. Capstones come down. Okay, it's all yours. Any questions? So I don't have time to go into the tape tonight. I just, there'd be no way. I got 15 pages to read somewhere in there. I couldn't take that time. Now, Brother Branham used the scripture, knowing this verse, there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the Father's fellowship, all things continues to work at the beginning. Where is the promise of his presence? You see, the question was, what is the sign of thy presence? You threw that word into the word coming. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that is by the word of God, the heavens are of old, the earth standing out of the water, and in the water whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. Now, you see, he took the thought there, scoffers appearing at the end time. They be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more lovers of God, truth speakers, false accusing, caught in spies, those who are good, having a form of godness and denying the power there from such turn away. All right, brother, sister, listen. If there is such a thing concerning his presence, if there is such a thing concerning a rapture, if there is such a thing concerning a wedding supper, if there is such a thing concerning a resurrection, this bunch here says no, it is not here to do it. Oh, they'll give lip service. You bet they will. Oh, they'll say the prophet said it, amen. But to believe that he came down from heaven, stand before groups of men, declare himself. See? Oh, they're looking for some great thing. And the simplicity has gone over their heads. Because you know why? I'll tell you why. They look just like old Caiaphas. Oh, mighty Jehovah, come down on a red carpet. Stand before dear old, you know, Caiaphas. And say, Caiaphas, I've wanted to come down for a long time. This is the great moment of my life. I'm going to come down. And you and I are going to be so great together. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Doesn't work that way. Too many manure heads. I hope you caught what I was saying just then. No man can take it. No man can stand a ministry that people speak of. No way. And they won't have to stand it anyway, because they aren't going to get it. As far as I know the word, as far as I know Brother Branham taught, he said, you saw your last sign. He said, looking for great things, that belongs to the Jews. But no man can stand that ministry unless he's already really got something. Or it'll destroy him. He get lifted up, or something will happen. Hard to tell these things, hard to understand, but I know what I'm talking about. At least as far as I know what I'm talking about. Great visions that people have to be somebody great? I got news for you. Just do your best to get that old brain of yours straightened out. Do my best to get my brain straightened out. And you know something?
There's nothing like this anointed word to do it. I'm living proof before you, whether you know it or not, that I can tell you categorically, I don't care where you stand and how tough any place is, if you do just one thing, you get with what William Branham taught, which is a 20th century word delivered to this people. And you put your own thinking away. Don't read with anything in mind, but to get what's there. Just pretend you're like when you were trying to do certain problems in school. Calculus, anything at all. And you went over and finally said, well, I'm going to have to really look at it. And for the first time, you put out of your mind what was messing you up. And you say, what does it really say? Now, what does that question really answer? Now, if so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, and so-and-so and so-and-so. Oh, huh. No wonder I went wrong. Oh, and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Now read that again. And so-and-so and so-and-so. Oh, I see you went wrong. It was the first time you can begin to do what the book said. You've got to know that against the prophet, your table is full of vomit. And the only hope you've got of eating pure manna is to disengage your mind, if you possibly can. And you can if you're a child of God. And begin to look at what he says. I'm not up here to tell you, look, I've arrived. No, I'd be a liar. But I tell you, I'm going to say this truthfully. I know which direction to go. I'm telling you everything that I tell myself. I don't hold one thing back from you, the best of my knowledge. Just get out of your mind. Don't be afraid. That's the worst thing in the world. Because remember, it's when you come to the light, the blood cleanses. You are on dangerous ground, holding back from the light. And you are on healthy ground when you come to the light. Now I want to tell you something, brother, sister. There is hardly a better fertilizer than blood. If you want to grow, you come to the light and let that blood begin to move through your life. And you'd be a healthier plant than you ever were before. You'd be a plant that begins to grow. If we walk in the light as he is the light, remember, there's no darkness in it. If you walk in the understanding of that word, now it doesn't tell you, brother, sister, that then you're going to be perfect. It says the blood will cleanse you. Now look, you can't go to God and say, Lord, forgive me for running that car over that poor old cripple lady if you haven't run the car over the poor old cripple lady. How can you go to God and say, Lord, forgive me if you haven't been doing bad things? How can you claim the blood if you aren't in trouble? Understand what I'm saying? Let's go back and read some more. Because we got to be in this light. Listen, first of all, brother, sister, you got to come to the light. See, that's why they don't come. See, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We don't have the truth. If we walk by his healing light, we have fellowship with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. Then it said, my little children, I write you that you sin not. And if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins. In verse 9, chapter 1, if we confess our sins, if he shall forgive us our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Why would you need an intercessor if you weren't in trouble at times? There is no perfection this side of the grave. There is no perfection this side of your change in the mortal body. We're going in the rapture. Then what's it all about? It's first of all, get in the light. Get in the light. Don't be afraid. Get in the light. Let your thinking go. Take a whole new attitude toward the prophetic message. Then things will fall in order. But they never fall in order until then, my brother, my sister. You understand what I'm saying? That's exactly why, with Brother Branham off the scene,
It's not that we don't miss him, but let's face it. If this wasn't as I say it, then he'd better come back. But if this is as I see it, then he had to go so that we would see it and get our eyes off of him and onto the one that he presented and onto the word that gives the revelation of him who is present. Now look, brother, sister, let's understand this plan. I can stand here for hours and hours, and you can live around me for many, many years, and you'll never really know me unless I open my heart and give you an insight in such a way that for the first time you really know me. That's how we get to know God. If it isn't for the word that he gives us, you would never know him that is present. And what you're doing is getting to know him more and more until your knowledge of him comes to the place of the hour that we know as we are known. And that which is perfect has come. Not looking at a glass darkly. We're not looking at a glass darkly. No, we ourselves have become the reflector of the very thing that the prophet gave us, coming right back to God. And we see ourselves in the image of God. And the light is he is the light. The very outrain. You say, does that make it so? Look, I'm telling you what God's word said. Let your mind go. Questions, questions, questions. What good are your cotton-picking questions? I told you years ago in depression, we all stood there hungry. We had a mess on our hands. Every politician, this is wrong, that's wrong, this is wrong, this. I said, shut up and sit down. Any jackass knows what's wrong. Bring us somebody with the answers. And they're still saying it. One day William Branham stood, and he said, the question comes before politicians. Will there be peace in this earth? He said, yes, and do you know there should be no peace until the Son of Righteousness comes. And his kingdom sets it upon earth, then there shall be peace. And William Branham took their questions and turned it into an answer. And I've done the same thing tonight by the grace of God, to turn your questions into an answer. Go back over the Omega Reflection, you'll see it. Now, let me tell you something. You feel better when you came in here, didn't you? For the first time, your heart feels nice and calmed down. You say, hey, that's great. That's true. That's where you're supposed to feel. God never came on the scene and the big old storm and, hey, he said, that's a great storm. Hit it harder, boys. Let's sink them. After the old boat was rocked and they'd had enough, he said, peace be still. Oh, they said, hey, that's great. Well, he said, I'm a great guy. What do you expect? Well, come on. People talk about love and they no more give God credit for loving nothing. How nice is God? Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. There's a sign I read in a man's house. I really hope that he took it to heart. It hangs over the mirror and it said, what think ye of Christ? And he says, he is altogether lovely. Well, I really believe that. When do you really believe it? Tell me. When do you really believe it? Well, you believe because there's a revelation. You believe because you know. You believe because he's proved it. The Lord himself has come down. Stand before groups of men, declare himself as ever he did. What did he ever do? He used a prophet. Came down in a theophonic form. Well, they say, well, we knew he's here all these years, did they? How come they missed it? How come they don't talk to him? I want to know. I want to know. I want some answers. They don't give me answers. The answers I get back are more hateful than mine. My gosh, I got some pretty blistering ones. Huh? Okay, that's very nice. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to again to know that you're always with us as we go into your presence, Lord, bringing out more and more of the facets of what has transpired in our hour. And we know, Lord, it is not something that is brazen. It's not something that gives us a facility of wit, a sarcasm, all those things, Lord, but we know that actually down within us that there is the absolute unalterable truth. And we know, Lord, maybe that we're not going to be any more than just friends of the bridegroom. I don't know. By your grace, we take it upon ourselves to believe that you brought us this far for one purpose, to be bride. But if you haven't, we say with the prophet absolutely sincerely, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And hopefully, by the grace of God, we will not get in her way, but rather begin to point out the masterpiece of God and the Great One Himself, the Great One who is here, the One present to bring about a resurrection. And we know that You are going to do it. Absolutely. We know that You will. We don't understand so much about the day and the hour in the sense of the day of the month and the month of the year and those things, but we believe it's very, very close now, and we just know that everything is on time. That's the best we can say. Everything is right on time. May we stand still until that time. May we be of those, Lord, who can stand still. And above all, may we be of those who can change our minds by letting the Holy Spirit do it for us. May we be those who can give way our own thinking and stand right there, Lord, before this word until our thinking becomes Your thinking. That's right. Because we believe way back there we were Your thinking. And then if we were back there, way back there, were Your thinking, then in this hour we must be Your thinking for this hour. And there'll be a bride standing here to be immortalized. And that's marvelous. To stand right here to greet them with the resurrection saints as they come out of the grave. To see the seven church age messenger prophet of God, the Elijah of this hour, come forth. And we see him. And say, hi, Brother Branham. Know it. Sister Branham. See those different ones come forth. To see the sixth age come forth. And somehow recognize. Because there'll be some will recognize from them. And five, and four, and three, and two, and one. And then to see our change. And then no seed, one go up, and two, and three, and four, and five, and six, and seven caught away a little bit of time. We believe these things, Lord. We know they're real. We thank You, my God, that they have been impressed indelibly upon our heart, and we're going to stand with them. And we do stand with them, and we praise You for it. Now, Lord, we just pray that we may go in strength from this place, and the joy of the Holy Spirit, the love of Almighty God shed abroad in our hearts, abounding unto Your glory and going down to Your, redounding to Your glory, Lord. And may from this moment on, we could just begin looking at this word as we've never looked at it before and give ourselves to it as the prophet said we ought to do. And now with an understanding, perhaps as we've not hitherto had, and a zeal and a perseverance. Bless each one, Lord, we pray, Almighty God. We pray the blessing of God, the joy, the peace, the depth, the power of revelation unto the resurrection and the rapture, and unto the King, eternal, immortal, the only wise God, present here with us, unto Him be glory and honor from these lives, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, living Savior. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you. Let's sing. Take the name of Jesus with you. All right. Lloyd will let you sing.